Luke 3. This is about John. In verse 3, we've finished, but just as a predicate. He came into all the country about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places shall be made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God." Now that's a pretty big role for for John the Baptist. And let's look at, you can't understand what is meant by the baptism of repentance until you understand what Isaiah said about John. And so let's look at the full thing of what Isaiah said about John the Baptist. Let's go to Isaiah 40. Notice when we read this, the first part of it is in the past tense. I mean, this was 700 years before the ministry of John the Baptist, and yet it's talked about it in the past tense. I can't hardly look at you with your colored beard. All right, I'm okay. All right. It's gone.
Just say me
15
years ago.
Come, how many? 15 years ago is when you last colored it.
Well, remember that moment. I recall that.
Comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned. For she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Now, that's a pretty big deal. Past tense. The only way that Isaiah could see that is the same way that Abraham saw his day and was glad. Isaiah, Abraham, Elijah's blood, they don't speak from the standpoint of time, they speak from the standpoint of eternity. Until that gets into your head, then you will never be able to confess the Lord Jesus, because you can't say the same thing that he says until you see the same thing that, well, until you hear the same thing, and then you will, if you hear it, you will see the same thing. You will see the time is only purpose is antagonism. Time and space. And it's antagonism against the infinite number of idolatries and groves and crap that you've put in your mind. What? What's going on now?
There's a newfangled invention.
What?
The alarm goes off and I don't even know how to shut it off, and it doesn't respond when I do.
It's supposed to free you. It's made you your, its prisoner.
You should be glad that I have not escaped the realm of tribulation.
I think we will see the opposite of what you've just said is true in a minute.
Let's go for it.
All right. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. For every valley shall be exalted, every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough places plain, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. And the voice said, cry. And he said, what shall I cry? Same thing. Now this is what John the Baptist cried, what we're about to read, and it is what the only thing that you can cry and speak. Listen now. This is from God all the way back to before time existed. All, this is what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. O Zion that bringeth good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem that bringeth good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up, be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord will come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. When it says his work before him, it means his work, the fruit of his work is assured. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arms and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. Then the rest of Isaiah 40 is about the emptiness and vanity of human thought and effort. But this is the sole thing that a preacher shall proclaim, that all flesh is as grass, and the glory of that flesh is as the flower of the grass. It's faded, it's done, it's over. Now, if you can't see, that applies to every thought, every emotion, every situation that you can be in, then you haven't heard the voice of the Lord. But his sheep hear his voice. It's a guarantee. It's not a matter of talking anybody into anything. The fact of the matter is, you would not be in this place if you had succeeded in anything. You would not be here. And it was the rarest thing in the universe back then for this to be preached, and it's still the rarest thing in the universe for it to be preached. Now that's what the baptism of repentance defines. All flesh is as grass. Now give me something that you're doing that's important. Give me some idea that you have that's meaningful. Give me some agenda or plan that you have for today that has any merit. Anybody?
Love. Being the only thing.
That's all. Anything else is meaningless. But how easily are you captured by drivel, by meaningless slop, captures your attention, brings you off the mercy seat. This all day yesterday, it just rang in my ears. Lord, though you slay me, yet will I trust. It doesn't matter what condition I'm in. It doesn't matter whether I'm even conscious.
The only reason you can say that is because of what you just said.
That's the only thing I've preached.
Yeah, if you don't see what you just said, those words wouldn't be real.
But, right.
Yeah.
Because I've lived it.
Yeah.
But so have you. Each one of you have. This isn't some arcane philosophy. If you have the integrity of an ant, you would recognize it. You would stop giving importance to things in time and space. Now, the word we're studying for this particular word is prepare ye. the way of the Lord. And that's what's quoted. Let's go back to Luke. We've talked about prepare. Last time we met, it was the duty of the advanced man, or in this case, the advanced man. And in your case, it's your duty. In your conversations with people, do you reveal that all flesh is grass? How much of your conversation today has been about the Dallas Cowboys? I just saw the paper that they lost. Does that make any difference to anybody? Did you have massive discussions about what they should have done or shouldn't do or didn't do or should have done? That's just drivel. Let your speech, let your thoughts be seasoned with salt so that there's only the component of eternity. You won't get invited to parties. But that's not, what's important is the renewal of your mind. Now what the Jews said about this, what prepare ye the way of the Lord meant, that was the Holy Spirit, the cloud that went before them in the wilderness. And the cloud, what it did, it raised any valley, and it destroyed any mountains, and it killed all the serpents, and anything they didn't like, that's their idea of what to prepare the way of the Lord is. Well, it's ludicrous. It's no question it reveals, it's talking about internal idolatry. Let's look at what Josiah's Passover was, the greatest Passover. Remember? Mm-hmm. And what happened? Israel was in the same condition that we are today. Rampant idolatry everywhere, putting the name of God on their own greed and idolatry. It was everywhere. It was rampant. And let's look at it. Second Chronicles, I think. We've studied this. This was the basis for the controversial aspect of, I mean, we're talking about Hezekiah's Passover. No, wait a minute. I want to go to Josiah's. It's 2 Kings. I remember Josiah was made king when he was 25. And what happened? Somebody found the book of the law. It hadn't even been opened. They had the temple, but all, you know, it's sort of like you. You know, you had this temple of God, but in it, it was whatever was convenient. They worshiped free enterprise in the capitalistic system and democracy, and they worshiped, you know, the rugged individualism, and they worshiped success. They worshiped people's talents. And then they read the book of the law. Well, we're not going to read all of this, but they read the book of the law in chapter 22. They found the book, and then they read it. And then in 23, this is what we're talking about, what it means to prepare ye the way of the Lord. Okay? What? Okay. And the king sent, and they gathered unto him all the elders of Judah and of Jerusalem. And the king went up into the house of the Lord, and all the men of Judah, and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem with him, and the priests and the prophets, and all the people, both small and great. And he read in their ears all the words of the book of the covenant, which was found in the house of the Lord. Now what does it mean when it says they read the book of the law? Does anybody remember?
Torah.
Huh? No.
Put it in people's understanding.
No. What? No. But what does it mean? They didn't, obviously, in one day, they couldn't have read all this before the people's ears. What?
Right.
Remember what it is?
Megillah?
No.
Mm-hmm.
We've only talked about this about 20 times.
This be a clue to you. This is the fruit of 35 years of teaching. No assumptions.
It was Exodus 20 to Exodus 23.
Oh, I remember that for the next test.
That's what it meant when they said they read the book of the law. Remember they read it standing up for the preparation in Ezra and Nehemiah's time? And that's what they read here. They didn't read all of the Genesis and all of Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy. They read Genesis 20 to 23. I mean, Exodus 20 to 23. And that's basically the Ten Commandments and what the implications of those Ten Commandments are. And yet, listen. And he read in their ears all the words of the book of the covenant, which was found in the house of the Lord. And the king stood by a pillar and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord and to keep his commandments and testimonies and statutes with all their heart and with all their soul, to perform the words of the covenant, this covenant that were written in the book. All the people stood to the covenant. That means everybody agreed. And the king commanded Hilkiah, the high priest, and the priest of the second order, and the keepers of the door, to bring forth out of the temple of the Lord all the vessels that were made for Baal, and for the grove, and for all the host of heaven. And he burned them without Jerusalem in the fields of Kidron, and carried them, ashes of them, unto Bethel. He put down the idolatrous priests, whom the kings of Judah had ordained to burn incense in the high places in the cities of Judah, and in the places round about Jerusalem, them also that burned incense unto Baal, to the sun, to the moon, and to the planets, and to all the host of heaven. And he brought out the grove from the house of the Lord, without Jerusalem, unto the brook Kidron, and burned it at the brook Kidron, and stamped it small to powder, and cast the powder thereof upon the graves of the children of all the people. And he brake down the houses of the Sodomites that were by the house of the Lord, where the women wove hangings for the grove. And he brought all the priests out of the cities of Judah, and defiled the high places where the priests had burned incense from Geba to Beersheba, and brake down the high places at the gates that were in the entering of the gate of the Joshua, the governor of the city, which were on a man's left hand at the gate, etc., etc., etc. Now, what do all these mean? The groves are your sexual activities. The pillars, then we got your graven images, or the way you think things should be, and your opinions. The molten images are your emotions. But it's all, everything was destroyed and brought to dust, and the dust was thrown on the graves, so that there was no thing, there was nothing that was dependent on time and space left in the worship of the in the temple. Now you are the temple of God. You must bring forth all these opinions, all these stands, all these places where you're right, and do the same thing, and then declare it. If you believe, you will speak. If you don't believe, this isn't optional. Otherwise, the garment is constantly spotted by the flesh. The stench of your opinions and ideas. The small moment of feeling right because you can judge somebody down. This is what the baptism of repentance means. What shall I cry? All flesh is grass. And the glory of the flesh is as the flower of the grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth away. But only the word of the Lord, Jesus Christ, stands forever. It's not even this word, it's the word. Not words about the word. And you've prepared the way. And the way is guaranteed because he finished it. Anybody have any thoughts or response. You're in the days of awe right now, from the way we're celebrating the feasts. Believe it or not, Rosh Hashanah, 2,000 years ago, was Judgment Day. It's already happened. We've already been judged. The last in this parable, the last 2,000 years, we've been in the days of awe, waiting for the people to understand the mystery, waiting for the people to stop giving breath to things that are dependent on time. Waiting for them to stop being right about anything in time and space, or thinking they're right, because obviously they're not. So in the mystery of God, now you have 10 days to repent. That's what the days of awe are about. This is when John was baptizing. And this is when he caused the people to go to the other side of the Jordan to confess that they weren't worthy to enter the kingdom. This is when he called them forth, and they went through baptism in that fetal position and rose, seeing out of the death, out of the womb, to the new life of Christ in them, the only hope of glory. It's so simple. There's nothing complicated. You bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. As I've said so often, there is no thought that can stand against a few things. It can't stand against you've been perfected by one offering. It can't stand against that you own all things. It can't stand against that everything is perfect, just exactly as it should be. Isn't it time to go to war with your mind? That's the only evil in the world, is your mind. The snake, the way of the snake. Oh, but you love to give it importance. I'm tired of talking. Any response?
Very good preaching. Very clear.
Now that this is what Rosh Hashanah is about. This is what I would have said yesterday had I been able to. What, Tom?
I was thinking that some was so lucky to be here for it.
Anybody else have anything?
Like the when the law was read, and this was like what you preached this morning, was it shuts up your mouth. I mean, the response is quit. There's nothing left to do, nothing left to think. There's just nothing left but now, and
amen.
Here we are. And we'll see what he does.
Life is a joy of watching.
Yeah. That's the mystery part, I think.
Come see.
Watch it happen.
But you can't come see until you hear. Mr. Bojo? Amen? Mrs. Bojo? I just fell on picking on. I just fell up like picking on the Bojos for a minute. There's nothing confusing about it. It's as clear. There's a bright shining light between eternity and anything in time and space. Anything that is dependent on time or changes with time, it's just not worthy of giving the slightest bit of importance to. Amen? Take it, big guy. Ha! I got 5 minutes.